Amen. How many of y'all love our country? Say amen. Oh, praise God. You know, I think about some of these guys that don't love our country and they badmouth our country. I'm not saying our country does everything right, but this is still a country that God has blessed over the years and given us the privilege to hold this great book and to preach this great book. Amen. And they've given us that freedom, and we have sent more missionaries around the world than any other nation. We're slowing down, though, and so we need to pray for our nation because our nation is in dire need of a revival so we can revive the rest of the world. Amen. Psalm 23, if you'd open your Bibles to Psalm 23, we're going to go right back there and rehearse some things that we talked about last week and touch on a few other things here today and look at being a blessing and an encouragement to you. And recognizing the fact that we were here yesterday, I'm going to endeavor not to be long-winded today. Amen. Psalm 23 is where we're going to be at. I'm going to try and cover the rest of verse 1 and then take a little piece of verse number 2 as well today and look at some things there. Psalm 23 should be a well-known psalm, should be a psalm that many of us are familiar with already. If you've not committed it to memory, I encourage you to commit Psalm 23 to memory. It'll be a blessing to your heart in every aspect of the nature, especially once we get done with the exposition of it. Psalm 23, everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
Any oh me's? All right, let's read together responsively. I'm going to read let's read it all together. We need to get it in our minds and our hearts. Many of us know it already, but let's go ahead and read it all together. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, we covered last week and told you that Psalms 22, 23, and 24 are triplet. They all go together, and they speak about the different aspects of Jesus Christ. He suffers and dies as the good shepherd in 22 and 23. He is the great shepherd who lives and cares for the sheep. And in chapter 24 of the Psalms, he returns as the guiding or the chief shepherd. Amen. One day soon, he's coming back to receive us to himself. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. I trust you are. Going to look at a few things today. There was a book that I read several years ago, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm, and I'm going to share some principles from that book today that I think will be a blessing to you, written by a guy who actually was a shepherd and who had some sheep. And so I'm going to quote some things verbatim from him because he said it so well, I don't need to try and paraphrase it. Amen. So I'm going to read some things from that today, and hopefully we can get a blessing from this area in making the Lord our shepherd. Amen. Because if he's your shepherd, you shall not want. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer this morning. Father, thank you once again for the privilege to be in your house today. And Lord, as we looked at last week, such an encouraging passage this has been throughout the years for men, women, boys, and girls, not just those going through difficulties of bereavement or those of heavy hearts or those that were souring for different reasons. Lord, it's a great sense of calm, a great sense of comfort, no matter what we go through. Lord, we know goodness and mercy is going to follow us here. Lord, we know that if we should depart and be with you, it's still good, all good, and even better than it is here. Thank you so much for the hearts that this has been a blessing and an encouragement to. May it be an encouragement to us today as we look at some more things about the psalm and the shepherd and the sheep. Lord, help us to find our place in this passage and help us to truly seek you as our shepherd. May you be our Lord. May you be our sovereign. Lord, there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today that has never made Jesus Christ the shepherd of their life, the shepherd of their souls, shepherd of their hearts. I pray today would be that day. They would still themselves, calm themselves, see the direction their sin will cause them to go in, repent of their sin, and run to the Savior to avoid that thing called hell and death. But Lord, to embrace eternity and have a Savior and have goodness and mercy even all the days of their life and then in the life to come. Thank you, Lord, that we as saints can relish in that desire and we can have that confidence and that encouragement in the Word of God. Speak to through me today the wonderful works of God and encourage saints alike and save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
God reigns in holy perfection, sinless, so pure, no stain. The very thought of sin looses his anger, his thunderous wrath set against hell's domain. My life began in condemnation, sinful and destined to die. On my own I found no consolation, until the day a spotless lamb heard my cry. My blessed Savior is standing in the presence of God, declaring that I've been made clean. This holy God who looks within cannot see my sin. There is a precious Lamb who stands in between. Now there is no condemnation. I know such freedom from sin. There's not a doubt that I'll cross heaven's portals, as God declares that I'm sinless within. My blessed Savior is standing in the presence of God, declaring that I've been made clean. This holy God who looks within cannot see my sin. There is a precious Lamb who stands in between. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There is no other fount I know. There is a precious Lamb who stands in between.
Amen. There is a precious Lamb that stands in between. What a blessing. And what an encouragement to know that God is on our side and He's for us. Amen. Well, Psalm 23 is where we're at. And, you know, the historians really cannot come to an agreement as to when this Psalm 23 was written. Some think it was written about the time that David was about to face Goliath, and as he looked at the challenge that faced him, he penned these words talking about the Lord being his shepherd and him not wanting, and him being able to make him to lie down in green pastures, being able to calm himself and to comfort him, and giving him a restoration to his soul, and just giving him that peace. And as he approached Goliath, some think he was thinking about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the impending death that this old giant might actually slay him. But the Lord was still going to prepare a table before him. And so the historians really don't know. Some think it was the time that Absalom tried to revolt against him and take the kingdom and do those things there, and came against that. And so some think he pinned it down there. They really don't know, but they do know this, that David did go back and revert back to his shepherding days. And he recalled the things that God had done for him as a shepherd, and how God took care of him as a little shepherd, and how he took care of his sheep. And some know for sure that he reflected upon that experience that he had. And I don't know about you, but whatever experience that you have, you know what he's talking about here when the odds seem to be stacked against you, when it seems like the going is tougher than what you have the ability to endure. But you still know that God's good. And you still know that as a sheep, he's the great shepherd. And you still know that whatever happens, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life here. But you know what? Then I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So regardless of what happens, David knew this. He said, you know what? I know that you're my shepherd. I know I don't need to want. I know that you can make me to lie down beside the still waters. You can lead me into these green pastures. You can do all of that. I understand that. I know the valley of the shadow of death is here. I know it's not always going to be good, but I know you have going to prepare a table for me. You're going to anoint my head with oil. My cup's going to always run over. I know goodness and mercy is going to follow me, because I know who you are as the shepherd and I'm the sheep. If you can identify with that, you know where he's talking about, amen? And as David reflected back on his days, he pinned down this psalm. Now, what were the conditions? We don't know. We do know the truth of it is applicable to you and I, just as much as it was to him back in those days. Why? We are the sheep. He is the shepherd if we're saved here today. Amen. Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. If you've been born again, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he takes care of everything else. If you can't say that today, I implore you, I encourage you, make him your shepherd today. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I encourage you, yes, call on him. But God commendeth his love toward us. He showed it that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm glad he's my shepherd today. And I trust that you'll look at this passage and make him your shepherd today, too. I don't know what your life has brought you. I don't know your circumstances today. I don't know you per se. But I do know there's a great shepherd above. There's a good shepherd. There's a chief shepherd that knows every sheep, those that are saved and those that are lost. Amen. Because in the sheepfold of humanity, everybody's been created by God. There's few, though, that's been created and born again in God. Amen. But then the sheepfold of humanity, there's only saved sheep and lost sheep. Amen. Within the saved, the sheep of God, then there are those that are going to stay close and those that are going to stray. Last week, we looked at verse number one. And the Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. And we talked about the position of David's shepherd. He is the Lord. We asked the question, who is he? And the position of him is he is the Lord. And we gave you this understanding that the word there, Lord, in your Bible should be capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, meaning that he is not just Lord and Master. He is Jehovah God. He's the self-existent one. He's the eternal one. He's the one who is. In the New Testament, Jesus equated with him by saying, before Abraham was, I am. When Jesus said that, he said, I am the self-existent one. I am Jehovah God. I am the eternal one. I am. Yes, sir. They knew that, and they took up stones to stone him.
Yes, sir, he did.
Amen.
He did.
And so when you look at who he is, this Lord of his, he happens to be the Savior, Jehovah God, the Eternal One. We mentioned that he's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and he's all over the place, everywhere at the same time. And we began to talk about that name Jehovah, and I gave you several instances that when something happened in the life of Israel, they gave him a different name, a designation to go along with Jehovah to represent what he did for them. Amen. We say that we're saved. We say that because we've been rescued. Amen. So we call ourselves saved. Every time God did something, they gave him a name. And I gave those to you last week. And let me give them to you again here briefly. The first one that we gave you was right here in verse number one. The Lord is my shepherd. And then that is Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So the Lord being Jehovah, Jehovah is my shepherd. Amen. And we gave you another one over in Genesis 22:14 when the ram was caught in the thickets. And Abraham said this. He called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. So the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22:14. God's going to see it and provide for it. Amen. By the way, I don't care what you've got going on today. The great Jehovah, the provider, can see and provide your need. Amen. We've got one going through difficulty right now. I'm so glad that Jehovah, our provider, can provide the need she has. Amen. By the way, we may not know what the need is. We may not be able to feel the need, but Jehovah does. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he is Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. I'm glad that he is Jehovah Jireh. He's going to see it. He's going to provide for it. I gave you another one, Exodus 15:26, Jehovah Rapha. And that scripture read like this in verse number 26, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Or in other words, the Lord who heals, Jehovah Rapha. If you get sick, guess what? The doctor is not the one that heals you. He just assists in prescribing that which is necessary. But if you're going to be healed, guess what? It is God who heals. Jehovah Rapha. You say, well, I prayed and I wasn't healed. So did Paul. He wasn't healed.
Right.
Amen. You going to tell me you're greater than Paul? Hey, Jesus went to the cross. Guess what? He still had to suffer. But you know what? It was for our sake so that we could be healed spiritually. Amen. Jehovah Rapha. Amen. The Lord, my healer. I gave you another one as well. Jehovah Nissi in Exodus 17 and verse number 15. And it read like this. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. Well, the Lord is my banner. Exodus 17:15. And when they were going to fight, they would always go out. And the armies would go out with a banner. By the way, if you look up here, this banner right here, this is our banner for our flag. Amen. Old glory. Amen. And this is the banner for our nation. When we go to the Olympics, guess what they wave? This banner. Hey, wherever we go to battle, guess which banner we wave? This one. Amen. This is the banner that goes before us. And we put that banner up showing what we own and what we possess and what we have. Wow, we're Americans. And as a result, we've got this flag. But hey, wait a minute. I've got another banner, too, over here. And this is the banner that's going to take me to glory. Amen. Now, this banner over here just gives me some civil liberties. Amen. Hey, but this gives me spiritual liberties. Amen. This banner means I'm born again. This banner means I'm saved. This is the bloodstained banner. This is the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I'm going to do anything for God, I got to go into this banner. Amen. Hey, I can take this all over the world and people only respect the United States of America. Amen. Hey, but if I take this all over the world, people know I stand for Jehovah God. I stand for my Savior. I stand for Jesus Christ, the crucified, the buried, and the risen again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I got a banner. I'm glad I've got Jehovah Nissi on my side, Jehovah my banner. And then we've got Leviticus 20 and verse number 8. I gave you that one. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them, for I am the Lord which sanctify you, or the Lord who sanctifies, Leviticus 20 and verse 8. And that was Jehovah Mekadesh. Jehovah Mekadesh, or the Lord who sanctifies. I gave you another one in Judges when Gideon saw the face of God. And Gideon saw the face of God, didn't get killed. And it said this in Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace, or the Lord is our peace. And let me tell you something today. If you're not saved, you don't have peace. You have a pseudo peace. You've got a false peace. But you don't have peace with God. Because my Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ gives us peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved, guess what? You don't have peace. You think you got peace. You got peace with the world situation the way it is right now because you can't do anything about it. But guess what? When you die and close your eyes, my friend, if you don't have this peace, the peace of the banner, the blood stain on your life, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, then you have no peace. And so we have then Jehovah Shalom, The Lord or Jehovah is peace or is our peace. And then I gave you Jeremiah 23:6. Jeremiah 23:6. Jeremiah 23:6 says, in his days, Judah should be saved and Israel should dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness, in Jeremiah 23:6. Or Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And by the way, again, going right back to Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you have no righteousness. He is the righteous one. And either you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ or you don't have righteousness at all. Say, preacher, how can you say that? There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so we know that we don't have any righteousness, but Jesus has it all. Then I gave you the last one, Jehovah Shammah, and that is Ezekiel 48 and verse 35. The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. So when Jesus sets up his camp here on earth, it is going to be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, or the Lord is here in that city. So we talked about who he is, amen, or what he is and his position there. And that is of the Lord, amen. Then number two, we talked about the possession of his shepherd, not just the position of his shepherd, and he is the Lord, but then the possession of his shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. We talked about what he is. David said, I possess him as my shepherd. And then we talked about who David was. And David said, you know what? I'm his sheep. If he's my shepherd, I'm his sheep. Uh-huh. So we looked at who he is, and then who am I? By the way, who are you? We're nothing more but sinners saved by grace.
Yes, sir, we are, Pastor, we are.
Say, preacher, you mean, aren't we big and have some stature and have this? No, we're just servants of the Most High God.
Yes, sir, we do, Pastor.
The servant is nothing. It's the person that sends him. Amen. And God has sent us. We are the sheep. And by the way, we looked at sheep. Sheep aren't the smartest of animals. They're not the bravest of animals. They're not the most intelligent. They're not the most savvy of creatures. And some things about them we found out in the dictionary. It says it's a timid, defenseless creature, one easily influenced or led. You say, preacher, I'm not easily influenced or led. I'm stubborn. I'm obstinate. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Yeah, you are. You're influenced by yourself.
Yes, sir, you are. Pastor, you are.
Uh-oh. Preacher, don't hit me between the eyes. Yeah, you are. Hey, you say, I don't follow anybody. I do my own thing. You do your own wicked thing.
Oh, yes.
And people follow your wicked thing.
Exactly.
Uh-oh, getting quiet now. Uh-oh. Jeff, you're the only one with me on this one.
Amen.
Hey, we follow our own pride. We follow our own foolishness. And then we want to say, I ain't nobody's fool. I'm doing my own thing. We got the big F over our head. Fool.
Oh, my goodness. Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Because if you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You're following yourself. And guess who's in charge of self? Satan.
That's right.
What he said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will be like God. He said, I. So if you're saying, I'm not following anybody, me, guess what? You got the big F. You're a fool. Or you can put the S here, sinner,
yes,
Satan.
Sir.
He said, I don't like any of those. Amen. Well, you need to have the Lord as your shepherd then. Amen. And the sheep follow the shepherd. And so we saw that. Some of the synonyms with a sheep or angel, dove, and an innocent and lamb. I thought that was kind of bizarre. Amen. So the possession of the shepherd, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. What he is, he's my shepherd. But then we saw who I am. I'm his sheep. Amen. And with those three points, amen, we're going to move on into the rest of that first verse there. I shall not want. The position of the shepherd, who he is, the possession of the shepherd, what he is, my shepherd, the possession of his shepherd, what I am, I'm his sheep. But then the provision of his shepherd, the provision of his shepherd. Notice what he says down there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What I have, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I shall not want.
Right.
Say, preacher, what does the word want mean? The word want there means to lack or to have need of. So David says, I shall not have need. I shall not lack. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not need. I don't have need of anything. David is saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. His job as shepherd is to provide my need. There's a song out of the soul-stirring hymn book by John R. Rice called All I Need. How many know that song? All I Need. Now, y'all heard that one? A couple? Amen. We sing it in Belgium all the time. Let me give you the lyrics. It says, all I need. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He alone is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness this very hour. My redemption, full and free. He is all I need. Second stanza, he redeemed me when I died. He redeemed me when he died. All I need, all I need. I with him was crucified. He is all I need. Third stanza says, he's the treasure of my soul. All I need, all I need. He hath cleansed and made me whole. He is all I need. Fourth stanza, Jesus is my all in all. All I need, all I need. While he keeps, I cannot fall. Hallelujah, I like that. He is all I need. Last stanza says, glory, glory to the Lamb. All I need, by his spirit sealed I am. He is all I need, wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness this very hour, my redemption, full and free, is all I need. That's good. I like that. I like that. If you don't know that song, that's a good one to have. Amen. By the way, when we first got our new hymn books, I looked for that song and I couldn't find it. And I was upset that they left that one out. I said, that's good. And you know what? This is an anonymous song. Nobody's claimed that one. It says anonymous. Amen. And so when you look at this this area of scripture here, when he says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You start looking at the provisions of the shepherd and what he provides. Having the Lord as our shepherd is to realize that he knows what we need and to be content that he alone is enough for us. By the way, do you know that God knows what you need today? Do you know that on a regular basis, the shepherd knows what the sheep need? Because he's watching the sheep every day. That's his job as a shepherd, is to watch him. David's drawing from his experience, and David is saying, you know what? As a shepherd, I remember going out to the sheepfold and looking at sheep number one. Okay. Looking at sheep number two. Okay. Sheep number three. Okay. Hey, where's sheep number four at? Uh-oh, I gotta leave these and go find them. Hey, the shepherd knew what sheep were there, and they also knew when they weren't there. Hey, God knows where you're at today. He knows where you're at yesterday. He knows where you're going to be at tomorrow. He knows where you're going to be at this evening. He understands. Why? He's the shepherd. And as a result of that, David said, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not need anything. I shall not lack anything because he knows what I need. By the way, to whom do the sheep go when they are in need? The shepherd. Where should we go when we're in need? To the shepherd. The shepherd of our souls. The chief shepherd. David did not state in here that he had no desires. Notice that. He didn't state that he didn't have desires. He did not say he never had desires, but he said, I'm not going to lack. Or God's not going to fail to meet my need. Needs and desires are different. He said, I shall not lack, I shall not need. The story is told of a child that was preparing for a situation where he was to quote the 23rd Psalm. So he went laboriously and began to go over, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the child practiced and practiced and he practiced and he practiced. Then his debut came and he opened up his mouth and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, what more shall I want?
That's right.
He basically embodied what David is saying. If the Lord is my shepherd, what more do I want? What more do I need? If he's my shepherd, there's nothing else I need. Is that your heart today? I mean, we can get caught up with so many desires, so many wants, so many whims, so many wishes. God, if I only had this, if I only had that, if I only had this, if I was only there, if I only had this job, this car, these children, this wife, this husband, these relatives, these friends, this money, this health, if I only had this.
That's right, Pastor.
And we get so caught up on our desires, we forget to see the Lord is my shepherd. What more do I want?
That's right, Pastor.
He knows me. He knows me inside. He knows me outside. He knows my downsides. He knows my upsides. He knows me when I'm good. He knows me when I'm bad.
That's right.
And guess what? He loves me through it all. You can't ask for a better shepherd than that.
So David comes to this first ending, and he says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not be in need of anything. And so we go from verse number one into verse number two. And in verse number two, we're going to talk about the production of David's shepherd. The production of David's shepherd. And in this area here, we're going to break it down into two areas, and I'm not sure we'll finish it today, but we're definitely going to give it a try. David said this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So we see the position already. He is the Lord. We see the possession. He's my shepherd, I'm his sheep. We see the provisions. David said, I shall not want. But then the production of David's shepherd. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. First of all, we're going to look at the shepherd produces rest for the sheep. The shepherd produces rest for the sheep. Now, I want to bring your attention to something here. The word maketh. Now, we look at the word make and we say, well, bake a cake or something like that. This word here means, it's got a TH, which means it's continual action. He causes to make, or he causes to make one lie down, or he causes to make one lay down, or he causes to make one to be at rest, or he causes one to sit. And you have to ask yourself this question. If he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and if green pastures are good, why does he have to make me lie down in green pastures, which should be good for me? Well, why do you have to make your child take medicine that's good for them? Because they don't think it's good for them. And they don't like the way it tastes. I mean, I like the taste of castor oil. That was my mother's wonder drug for anything that ailed you. And if you didn't like that, she'd give you cod liver oil. And if you weren't sick before, you got sick when you tasted it.
Amen.
Now they got cherry castor oil and lemon and all this other stuff. She would just give us a cracker. Or some orange juice or 7-Up and said, chase it down with that. I'm like, I'm chasing up. Someone's going to chase it back up. Amen. And it got chased up. So why would the shepherd have to make the sheep to lie down where it's good for them? And first of all, you know, as I'm reading through, actually, I read through the one several years ago, but I've got two other books that I'm reading through about the shepherd and shepherding and sheep, because I'm not a shepherd. I don't know anything about sheep except for what I read. And these books, they all three agreed on this one fact, that the shepherd has to produce an environment of rest for the sheep because of the sheep's nature. Because of the sheep's nature. And all of us in here are sheep. And he pointed out four things that the sheep are prone to do, which necessitates the shepherd having to make them to lie down where it's good for them. Now, parents, you can agree with this. Your children are the same way. You have to make them lie down sometimes. Go take a nap. I don't want a nap. Yes, you do want a nap. No, I don't want a nap. Then you go in there, put them in the bed, and 30 seconds they're asleep.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
You have to make them lie down where it's good for them, even though they don't think it's good for them. And so God oftentimes has to do that to us. And I'm going to reference four things that needs to happen with the sheep. Because in his book, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm, Philip Keller, he describes four things, at least at a minimum, that prevent sheep from being able to lie down in green pastures and get rest. And I'll give you the four, but I've also added a fifth that I found in my own life. And they are in order: fear, friction, food, and flies. Fear, friction, food, and flies. Now, right off the bat, I don't like flies. But it's worse for sheep.
Yes, sir, they are.
Now, I love food. But when I don't have it, guess what? It's hard to concentrate. Friction is another thing he mentioned. And I'll get into that a little bit more. But you know what? Even amongst people, we don't like friction. But then fear. Sheep by nature are very, very jittery, very skittish, because they have no defensive mechanisms. They don't have teeth like lions. They don't have the ability to really protect themselves in that capacity like another carnivore would. But in Psalm 3, David said something. Hold your finger there. Go back to Psalm 3 with me. And notice what David said in regards to his fear or being able to lie down. Psalm 3, of course, it says at the top of Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which save my soul. There is no help for him in God. But, I like that. But thou, O God, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Verse 5 says, I laid me down and did what? And slept. I awaked. Why? For the Lord sustained me. I will not be what? Afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. David said, you know what? Hey, look, I've got these people surrounding me. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be to save my soul. There's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me, the glory and lifter of my head. Hey, I'm able to lie down. I'm able to go to sleep. I'm able to wake. Lord, you sustain me. I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000s of people that have surrounded me round about. Why? You are my shield. You're my shepherd. Hey, friend, let me tell you something now. Fear will grip the average Christian if we're not careful. Whenever we take our eyes off the great shepherd, fear will grip our souls. It will grip our minds. It will captivate us, and it will cause us to be so mortified that we can't do a thing. David said, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. 10,000 people can surround me. He said, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to go to sleep. Why? He said, the Lord sustained me. David, the great psalmist here says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hey, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He forces me to lay down. He forces me to sit. He puts me down there because he knows what's good for me. I got fear. Amen. But he calms my fears.
Yes, sir, he does.
Now, something about the shepherd. The sheep can be going through their things and they can hear a noise or they can see something. As soon as the shepherd steps out into the fold, guess what the sheep do? They calm down, they get settled. Why? They know that's their protector. They know that's the one that's going to fight for them. They know that's the one with the shepherd's crook. They know that's the one with the rod and the staff. They know that's the one's going to comfort me. They know that. So although the fear is there, the shepherd is there. And they take their eyes off the fear and they look to the shepherd. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. Anytime you look at your surroundings, anytime you look at people, anytime you look at situations, anytime you look at how the bills are falling, anytime you look at your health, anytime you look at your children, your finances, your job, your house, your home, your car, you look at those things. Hey, my friend, let me tell you something. You have reason to be afraid.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
But David said, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to look at the shepherd.
Amen.
And when the shepherd is in my presence, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know about you. Many times I've taken my eyes off the shepherd.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
And been engulfed by my own fear. And been paralyzed by my own fear. Not wanting to do something. Hey, when God called me to preach, I was engulfed with my own fear. God, I can't preach. God, I'm afraid to start a church. God, I don't want to surrender. God, I don't want to do this. And it wasn't so much that I was afraid. I was saying, Lord, I'm afraid to fail. Because there's no problem in God's ability working in me. Why? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I was afraid of failing. And God said, I've never failed, never will. If you follow me, you ain't going to fail.
Amen, Pastor.
And guess what? I stepped out and surrendered.
Amen.
And I could do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but the minute I think I'm doing it on my own, I'm going down fast. I couldn't do it in the beginning. And so David here says, you know what? One of the things that I know is that he's going to make me lie down in green pastures. I laid me down and slept. In Psalm 3, David is letting him know, you know what? The shepherd can give me rest from my fears. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Predators are lurking around in the pastures. Get the flock unsettled and a sense of danger. But the shepherd's presence reassures them. By the way, anytime the pastor leaves, which he's going to leave this week,
amen,
That's when predators try to come into the flock and try to steal the flock and try to steal the hearts of the people. That's when they come in. They come in unsuspectingly, unknowingly. But you let the shepherd come back. They try to steal themselves.
Yes, sir, they do.
But you let the shepherd be here. They don't want to do that when he's there. What am I saying here? David said, you know what? I've got some fears, but in the shepherd's presence, the shepherd can give me rest from my fear. We're prone to anxiety. We're prone to restlessness, and we're prone to paranoias and perpetual instability for our body and our soul. And we struggle with the inability to find rest when we don't have to because God is here. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Fear is gone. Why? Thou art with me. God, you're omnipotent. You're omnipresent. You're omniscient. God, you've got the ability. It's not in me. It's in you. God, work through me. And guess what? David could confidently go on and face Goliath if it were he. He could face Absalom if it were he. He could face all the obstacles if it were them. If it was the Philistines, he could face the Philistines. He was on the run from Saul. He could face Saul. He wasn't afraid because he says, you know what, God, in my fear, you're my strength. And your strength is made perfect in my weakness. And David, as the sweet psalmist, went on. One of the things about our fears is that we can't see. How many of y'all like fog? I hate driving in fog. I mean, I hate driving in fog with a passion. You know, one of the things I hate driving about fog, in fog, you can't see. How many of y'all been in Europe? How many been in England? They have some dense fog. How many been in Belgium? Dense fog. How many been in Germany? Dense fog. So much that you're required to have what they call fog lights, front and back, so that people can see you. Sometimes it's so foggy you can't really see in front of you. And many of the accidents have happened on the highway when cars have crashed into each other. You couldn't see the lights. You came approaching at about 120 kilometers an hour or 130 kilometers per hour. Pow, and you crashed right into them. Many accidents have happened that way. But let me give you a statistic here. If a dense fog covered a 7-block area 100 feet deep, listen to this now. If a dense fog covered a 7-block area 100 feet deep, it would be composed of less than one full glass of water divided into 60 million tiny drops. Did you realize that? Yet that one glass of water can cripple an entire city. That's what it's like when we have fear. It cripples. Same way that fog that spread all over, condensed in a cup, can cripple. And so the psalmist is saying, hey, look, you know what? A fear for the sheep is one thing, literally, that can cripple my flock. God understands that. Fear or worry is faith in the negative form. It's trust in the unpleasant. It's assurance of disaster. And it's belief in defeat. It's saying that God's not able and that I'm not going to make it. And David said, I am going to make it.
Amen.
Why, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down where it's good for me. Even against my fears, he makes me rest.
Amen.
He makes me rest. I like this quote. A guy said, fear or worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles.
Come on.
Say that again. Fear or worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's trouble. Only when we draw close to the side of the shepherd are our fears relieved. And so when the shepherd steps out, the sheep say, I don't need to be afraid. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves around about me, whether it's the Philistines, whether it's Absalom, whether it's Saul. I don't know what your situation is, but bring your Goliath in there. What's your Goliath? What's your Philistine? What's your Saul? What's your Absalom? Hey, what is that that cripples you, that calls you not to be able to? Hey, my shepherd gives me rest.
Yes, sir.
And he gives me rest from my fears.
Yes, sir,
say, preacher, what are your fears? Well, I've got many of them. I've got many of them.
Yes,
say, preacher, what's one of your greatest fears? Y'all already know my greatest fear, fear of people.
Yes, sir.
Yet the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Well, preacher, how can you stand up here and preach week after week? Because I know the promises of God, and I rest in the promises of God. Hey, door knocking for me is one of the most fearsome things. I mean, I don't like knocking on doors and talking to a complete stranger, but I rest in the power of God who said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. They're not going to do anything that I haven't let them do. They're not going to touch you unless I give them permission. So I go in the power of God. Are you still afraid, preacher? Of course.
Amen.
I'm no different than Gideon.
That's right.
They call him a mighty man of valor. But Gideon said, I'm a chicken. I'm hiding.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
I'm putting out fleeces. Do you really want me to do this, God? Yeah, I want you to do it. Hey, sometimes God can give us direct order on what to do, and we can be so afraid. God spoke to me in no uncertain terms. I want you to surrender to preach. And I'm thinking, you're talking to my wife, right? And she look at you, ain't God calling you? No, he calling you. He ain't calling me. I got no part or lot in this matter at all. What am I saying here? The shepherd can give rest from fear. The production of his shepherd. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He causes me or makes me lie down. He causes or makes me to rest. He causes or makes me to sit. Why? It's good for me. I don't know it. And my nature is one of fear. And I'm not going to give you the second one just for sake of time. We'll finish it up next time. But friction was the next one, and then food, and then flies. And we'll talk more about that. But the main thing that was brought out through everything that I read was that the shepherd, when he stepped on the scene, I feel the same way. He said, the sermon's over already. Oh, no, no, no. Some of y'all saying, yes, 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 yes. He said, no, but I want more preaching. Preacher, you normally go 45 minutes to 50 minutes at least. Oh, give us more. Do y'all agree with him? No, y'all don't stop that. You're ready to go home and get your hamburger. Amen. What am I saying here? The production of the shepherd. The shepherd can give rest from fear. And because of the nature of sheep, we resemble them a lot, and that's why God calls us sheep. And he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And you and I have fears. We have that which cripples us. We have that which is an anxiety for us. We have that which we at least want to do. And God wants to give you rest from that today. I don't know what it is. Now, you know some of my fears. And God has to repeatedly give me a wife who takes me out of my comfort zone.
Amen.
And put me in places that I really don't want to be. God has repeatedly put me in situations that I really don't want to be in. And I say, Lord, I don't want to do this. And he says, but I want you to do it, and you need to do it.
Amen.
I said, but Lord, I don't want to do it. That's frightful for me. That's fearful for me. But you know what? My shepherd can give me rest. And David saying, you know, from a shepherd's perspective, I know what my sheep need. And they need my presence to give them rest. From our human perspective, we need God presence as the shepherd of our souls to step in our lives and give us rest and rest from our fears. And he can produce that rest. Say, preacher, how does he do it? By making us to lie down. Putting us in situations where we have no control over it. Folks, I've been in some situations this week with Robin and the situation and the other phone calls I got this week. I had no control over it. I just had to do what God called me to do. Say, preacher, did you like it? No. Did you know what to do? No. Did you know what to say? No. No, 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 no. And so fear of the unknown can cripple when you don't know what to do. But I'm glad that Jesus said, you know what? Lo, I am with you always. And I can go in that confidence and that power and not let my fear cripple me, because that's exactly what Satan wants. If he can cripple us, we won't do the will of God. And if we don't do the will of God is not fulfilled through this church and through our community, throughout our society, and around the world with the gospel's sake.
Amen.
God is longing to make you lie down in green pastures and give you rest in spite of what you want to do. And David said, he maketh me to lie down. He knows what's good for me, and he's going to do it through me. And as a result, David said, you know what, I can lay down and I can sleep I can wake because the Lord's going to sustain me. What do you need today? What do you need the great shepherd to do in your life today? What is it that fears you the most? What is it that gets you jittery, that gets you unsettled? What is that that fog that you can get put into at a moment's notice and you know it cripples you where you can't do anything? Why don't you bring that to the great shepherd today? Why don't you give that to the Lord Jesus Christ? It could be the fear of a job. It could be the fear of a child. It could be the fear of losing a home or losing some finances or losing this or that or maybe your health or maybe a loved one. It could be a myriad of things that fears you. Friend, let me tell you, there's a great shepherd who loves you and who does not want you to be crippled by what you see, but he wants you to trust him and what he sees and go on in spite of the fog. Maybe there's somebody today here who needs to trust Christ as Savior. If you were to die today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. You think you might go because you joined a church. You think you might go because you've been baptized. You think you might go because you're a good person or you've kept the Ten Commandments. You've got a lot of thoughts about what you think is going to get you to heaven. But what has God said will get you to heaven? Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. There's none righteous, no, not one. What is it that we need from the great shepherd most of all? His righteousness. Without his righteousness, we're doomed to a place called hell. And that's not where he wants any sheep to go. That's for the devil and his angels. He wants you in heaven. Would you accept Christ as Savior today? Would you repent of your sins? Would you turn? Would you come this morning and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, whoever you are today, let me encourage you. When the invitation starts and the music plays, would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. The shepherd wants to give you rest today from your fears, so that you can lie down in green pastures and so that he can restore your soul by leading you beside the still waters. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we're talking about this morning the possession of the shepherd. He said, he's my shepherd and I'm his. Talking about the position, he's the Lord. He's high and lifted up. Within the production of the shepherd, what does he want to do? He wants to make us lie down in green pastures. And perhaps maybe you need fear calmed in your life. Maybe there's something that is standing in the way of you having that total peace. And you just need to step out and say, God, would you work this situation of fear in my life? Give me rest. And if you're here today, you say, preacher, I need prayer. I've got some situations in my life that seem to just cripple me or plague me. Would you pray for me this morning? All across this room, you raise your hand. I've got some fears. I've got some things that need to be calmed in my life and laid to rest in my life. All across the room, amen. Amen. Many hands going up, amen. You may put them down. Is there anyone else? You join? So there's some things that cripple me, amen. I see that one. The more hands you raise it, say, preacher, pray for me. Folks, if we're honest, we all have fears. We all have them. It's what we do with them. Now, you know my fears, and I've got to say, God, you know I'm afraid, but I'm going to walk and do what you've told me to do besides what I know. And with our fears, that's the way we've got to be. Otherwise, it will cripple us. Father, you've seen the hands that are raised here today. I pray you bless. How many understand my voice now? Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Say, preacher, if I died right now, I have a fear of going to hell. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. There's a fear. There's a chance that I might go to hell. I've been baptized. I've been being good. I've been trying to go to church. I've been trying to do the best I can. But preacher, if the truth be known, I've got a fear of death. And if I die right now, there's a chance that I'll go to hell. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Would you pray for me that I can get it settled today? And you'd raise your hand. I won't come and pick you out. I just want to pray for you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. Amen. I see one. You may put it down. I see two. You may put it down. Is there another? I'm not sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I've got a bit of fear of that. Oh, friend, don't stay where you're at. When the invitation starts, would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, you see these hands that have been raised. Some for fear of situations that they know could cripple them if they let them. Others for fear of going to a place of eternal torment without Jesus Christ as Savior. And God, I pray for both. The ones of fear of torment, they would get saved. Let us take a Bible and show them how they can be born again. But then for those that say they know they're saved, but they've got some fears, that could cripple them if they let them. Oh, God, strengthen them. Give them the ability that you as the great chief shepherd, the good shepherd, only can do. Give them the confidence and the boldness of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. They may go forward and face their fears in spite of how they feel. And do that which is pleasing, knowing that you're the God that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Lord, work a marvelous work in Christians and men, women, boys, and girls that need to be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Let's all stand to our feet. The music is going to play and a hymn of invitation will be given. God spoke in your heart. You need to be saved. Would you come? Let us show you how you can be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. You say, I got some fears. Would you come? Lay your fears at the altar. Ask God's grace on your life. Man, woman, boy, or girl, that fear, we all have them. Would you come? Preacher, I need to be saved. Well, you know, you've got to get past the fear of leaving your seat and coming and let us show you how you can be saved first. Would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today? I'll meet you. Preacher, I need to be saved today. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I want the Lord to be my shepherd. I don't want to want anymore when it comes to this matter of salvation. As you're all on the altar of sacrifice today, the altar's open. I'll meet you. Hey, folks, we've all got fears. It's just, is that fear going to cripple me from doing that which I know I got to do? We all have them. But will it stop me from doing that which I know God wants me to do? The shepherd can give you rest today. Rest from your fears. In his presence, just keep your eyes on him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's all on the altar. How about it, friend? Would you like to be saved today? You raise your hand. We can help you. But you've got to make that first move. Would you like to be saved? Would you like to get it settled today? All it takes is one step out. You step out. God will meet you. How about it today? My provisions I shall not want. The shepherd's production, he produces rest from fear. How about it today? Would you like to be saved? Can we help you today? How about it, Christian? What you need today? Say, preacher, my fears are beyond God's help. No, they're not. The only fear beyond God's help is the fear you don't give him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the chief shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ will do and has done everything for you. He's all I need. Jesus Christ has made to me all I need. How about it? As you're all on the altar of sacrifice today, I don't know what your need is, but God does. And he loves you. And he cares for you. One more stanza and we'll close. How about it? Want to give your life to the Lord Jesus? You want to be saved? You want to be your shepherd? Oh, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be more afraid of going to a place of torment. Be more afraid of passing the shepherd up. Be more afraid of meeting the Lord before you're ready to meet him without Jesus Christ being your Savior. Be more afraid of that. But oh, don't let fear keep you back. Jesus Christ is the great chief and good shepherd. How about it? Father, thank you once again for being the great shepherd of the sheep. Thank you for being a God that loves us. Thank you for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in giving David the opportunity to pen down this psalm. Lord, thank you that you took him through practical experience as a shepherd to know more deep about the sheep. And Lord, he knew that he would have to produce rest for the sheep by making them to lie down and giving them the ability to go and do what they don't think is good for them. God, we are your sheep. And sometimes we don't always agree with what you would have us to do. And Lord, sometimes it is because of fear. Oh God, would you help us today? to rise above our fear and let you as our great shepherd give us rest from our fear. Lord, across a room like this today, I can only imagine that many are the fears. But one is the need, and that is Jesus Christ, our true shepherd. And oh God, with every fear that is here, meet those fears by the great power of Jesus Christ and the blood of his cross. And give us what only you can give us to meet those challenges and those needs. Lord, I lift up to you Ava in prayer as well, that you might allow her to sense that you are her shepherd because you're omnipresent. While you're with us, you can be with her. Calm her fears that she may have about the things going on in her body. Lord, we pray for a continued blessing upon the Galleon family and safety as members travel back as well. Lord, may we be a comfort and a consolation to them and do what we can to help them through a time that's unsettling in their lives. And may we be a constant comfort in their time of fear as well. Lord, do what only you can do. Save the lost. Bind up the wounds. Heal the brokenhearted like the chief shepherd does. Lord, let none leave today unfulfilled, unsatisfied, knowing that you, Jesus Christ, you're all we need as our great shepherd. We shall not want. Dismiss us with thy blessings. Pastor,